Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo and we are trying to reach my guest today. So we are just going to go ahead, move ahead with what we've got going here this afternoon. Our guest is Teresa Musso and we were going to be talking about her book, Rebounding. So we're trying to reach her right now. And as soon as we do, we'll be bringing her on the air. Meanwhile, what I wanted to do was start out with a quote. Well, wait a minute. I think we might have Teresa. Hello.
Hello.
Hi,
Donna,
Teresa.
How are you?
Well, I'm just doing wonderfully. I was thinking, oh my goodness, she might have gotten stuck in traffic somewhere.
No,
that happened
no, I
to
think
me.
We just had a little time difference there on my watch that was set. So I apologize for that. Thank you so much for having me on with you today.
Well, it's a delight, and I'm glad we were able to reach you. Now, Teresa, your book, Rebounding, I thought that the title was interesting, but you describe it as a practical guide for getting up and getting over it. And I want my audience to know that you're a woman that really has a passion for life. You are someone that has walked the walk of experience, and we're going to be talking about a few of those in just a moment, but you founded a company called Results Unlimited, Inc. It's a coaching and training agency in Raleigh, North Carolina, and you've spoken internationally and have been a coach for over 20 years. When you put this book together, was it hard for you to talk about your personal experiences?
Well, you know, Donna, it's an interesting question. It was hard for me to start out talking about my personal experiences. Coming from the coaching side of things, you know, I had spent years and years and still spend the large majority of my time really focused on helping other people get to their next step. And when this book was being put together, it was a totally unique experience for me to start integrating some of my personal experiences and bring those into, you know, the center stage. So, yes, it was an interesting experience for me, and it was, I think I'm still learning how to come front and center with some of those stories, and it's been a great healing experience and learning experience for me to learn how to integrate those into my coaching.
It is a challenge to be able to say to people, let me show you my wounds. I think of Oprah Winfrey when she came out with her particular batch of experiences and other people who, when they've done it, instead of being ridiculed as they often expected or criticized as often is expected, the empathy of so many people, and it was like they just said, this is wonderful. You've shared with me, I think you are a person that's so perfect, you never had anything affect you in life, and you go, excuse me, you've got it, but what planet did you come from? I mean,
yeah.
None of us get through this life without getting kicked in the teeth periodically.
Exactly. Well, and you know, Donna, this book actually started out as a journal exercise. Basically just an exercise to keep me sane in the midst of experiencing and grieving, you know, through some serious losses. And when I looked around me, this was, you know, just a couple years back when I was writing this, and I saw so much loss going on, you know, because of the economy, people really, you know, having to face loss, not just on a financial level, but so many, you know, emotional losses, marital challenges, just losses and challenges on lots of different levels. I realized that, you know, there were people out there that needed to hear what I was going through because we shared, you know, a common bond. in that. And if I had the courage to step forward and start speaking about some of my setbacks and failures, that maybe it could embolden and you know, just keep one person going. Honestly, that's what was on my mind when I wrote this.
Mm-hmm. I like the quote that you have in the beginning of your book, and I'm going to read it verbatim. You failed many times, although you may not remember. You fell down the first time you tried to walk. You almost drowned the first time you tried to swim, didn't you? Did you hit the ball the first time you swung a bat? Heavy hitters, the one who hit the most home runs, also strike out a lot. R.H. Macy failed 7 times before his store in New York caught on. John Creasy got 753 rejection slips before he published 564 books. Babe Ruth struck out 1,330 times, but he also hit 714 home runs. Don't worry about failure. Worry about the chances you miss when you do not even try. Harry Gray. Wow, is that a mouthful?
It really is. I loved that quote, Donna. It just hit me over the head when I saw this quote. I thought, you know, how powerful is that to focus instead on the process instead of the result?
I agree with that. I really think that there is such a myth out there, and I know I've fallen in love with the myth more than once. And the myth is, gee whiz, there's supposed to either be overnight success or you really don't have a hope in you know where of getting any accomplishment if you haven't done it in the first 6 months. I'm sorry, folks. That's not the case. Life is just unbelievably unpredictable for all of the predictability that a lot of experts say is there. Life happens sometimes. And it can be like a volcanic explosion, and you go, where did that come from?
Exactly.
That's life, folks. This is what's happening. Life happens. Nobody gives you a guarantee. I had such an empathy for your words in the book that you said, I own my own baggage. Now, that took courage to say, because most people are going to want to put the blame on somebody else. Everybody else or anything else or God, whatever you've got handy, is to blame for the reason one's life is not going the way that it is. We all get in our pity pots. I don't know about you, but I have a few on the shelf every once in a while. I pull out and I say, excuse me, can I sit in you for a while?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, the process of taking 100% responsibility for every single result, you know, because really the feedback that we get feedback all the time on things that we try, things, the actions we take, choices we make. Taking 100% responsibility for those choices is, you know, it's an ongoing process learning how to do that and realizing when we're not doing it. And it isn't something that's, yeah, it's not like you learn how to do it once and then you're just, you know, an old pro at it. I'm still in the process of owning even that very same baggage that I wrote about in that book. I mean, it's an ongoing process. And I think that if I got nothing else out, you know, in this book, the point I think I was most trying to make was to learn how, when you're in it, to be 100% present with that baggage, to be 100% present with the process, and that it's okay. Because we all have it.
Absolutely. You have a comment in your book that I thought was quite interesting. It was about yourself. And this was as recent as 2008, and correct me if I'm wrong with my time frame, but you lost a client. And they were one of your largest clients because of their own fraud and bankruptcy issues. So that just sent you spiraling into a downward direction financially and in other ways. And my goodness, tell us a little bit about this that hit you right between the eyes and the pocketbook.
Yeah, absolutely, Donna. Well, no amount of due diligence could have prepared me for what I had coming. And you know, my company at that point, although I'd been coaching for years and years, I hadn't really open the doors, put out the capital investment until 2006 and hung my shingle out there. And so this was a very large client. We were put under contract to create a training and coaching institute for them. And I had to ramp up my team significantly in order to fulfill the terms of the contract. And it wasn't, well, let's see, we had been in business about 2 years, 2.5 years at this point. And it wasn't but 6-7 months into the contract, and they discovered some fraudulent activity, and which took their company into bankruptcy status immediately. And unfortunately, because of what the economy was doing as well, it was almost impossible for me to recover from that huge, you know, the revenue loss. And so as a result, really took my company with it. So mm-hmm. It was devastating, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you have
at the time.
A chapter that you dedicate to how to move forward, because this is something, it can hit anybody. And I don't care whether mm-hmm. you're young, middle-aged, elderly, or ready to catch
blindside
a bucket.
You. That's
it
right.
It can hit you. And I've known so many of my clients that have gone through downward spirals, and I myself have gone through experiences like this, and I really think that your chapter that you have in the book on how do you move forward is very, very significant. And you start out, you have step number one, write down, I can handle anything that comes my way. Step number two, assess the situation. Step three, assess the gap. Step four, forgive yourself for getting in the mess in the first place. And what I... especially after that step, you had a comment. You didn't get to where you are because you were a victim of circumstance. There were actions and choices that led you to where you are. And whether it's someone else's actions or choices, if you went along for the ride, whatever it is something that we have to open our eyes. Boy, why don't they teach people that in school?
Oh, boy, that would be such a valuable life skill, wouldn't it, Donna, if they could give us even a glimpse of that perspective?
Mm-hmm.
I know. I don't know why it wasn't until, you know, I guess we hear some of this going along and growing up, but, you know, you brought up step number two, assess the situation. That step in and of itself is a very scary step. And mm-hmm. when something blindsides you, and it is so very easy to fall into the victim role, you know, for you to step out of that long enough to actually survey the situation and face whatever it is in front of you,
mm-hmm.
you know, for me, that was a really scary step. And it's a step, honestly, that even, you know, several years later, I'm continuing to take.
Mm-hmm.
It has had lots of ripples in the pond, you know, lots mm-hmm. of consequences. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes in our imaginations, we can make it out to be even worse than it is. But it's a very critical step, you know,
mm-hmm.
facing what is. And, you know, maybe that means writing it down if there's financial losses, really looking at what it looks like, what it's created. If it's emotional losses, you know, kind of inventorying where are we today in the midst of this setback.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's really,
true.
Really critical.
And then step number five is forgive the people that contributed to you getting here. Because like with you, a client, you didn't have anything to do with their choices and decisions, but it affects you. It's not unlike the economy today. Because of stupid decisions being made by certain people that don't understand certain things, they are blindsided, it affects everyone down the line. And that is what, there's that ripple effect. That's the terminology I'll use. And you were affected by the ripples that this particular party did. That's the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you could have done to change it. It's sort of like getting upset with Mother Nature when a storm hits and a lightning strikes your house, and you go, that wasn't fair. Well, excuse me, that's life. And
yeah,
it's part of it. And then what I liked about step six is to take some small step of action towards a better place. That aspect of adaptability and being able to say, this is what I have to do. I'm in this situation. How do I adapt? How do I adjust?
And how do I make my shift so I'm going to move forward?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, that forgiveness step is so critical to being able to acknowledge the next, I call them the next natural steps. You know, to be able to see the next step that's in front of you, a lot of times we're so blindsided by the emotion of the situation mm-hmm. that we can't identify the next tangible thing that we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that although grieving is not a linear process by any means, we keep coming back through these steps, you know, mm-hmm. in different waves. It is really important to be able to take responsibility for what's yours, forgive what isn't yours. And, you know, certainly in this situation, I did have to forgive the people, you know, that were responsible for their end of it. But I did make choices to go under contract with them. And mm-hmm. there were some red flags, you know, and looking back in hindsight being 2020, there were some red flags. And so there was a lot of self-forgiveness that I had to go on to. And a lot of, you know, hey, you made the best decisions you could at the time. And, you know, what is the next natural step that's right in front of you? You're only responsible, Teresa, for taking that step. You don't have to figure it all out. Just take that one next step.
I agree. And it's that clarity of thinking. And that's why I think your book has such a value. Step number 7, talk to someone, anyone. I liked what you said afterward. A half hour is okay to whine and vent. A half hour a day for a year is not. I thought, yeah, that's the truth. You know, if you have your pity pot special, if you want to design your own, I always tell people, design your own. Put your pity pot up someplace where you know it's there whenever you need it. And then create your own design. Make it colorful. Do whatever you want to. You can paint it all black. I don't care. But when you decide to wallow in it, go in the pot, do that. And then after a little bit, just say, okay, I'm going to make a new pot, break that one, and move on. It's really good. Now,
that's a great way of looking at it. Yeah, you almost need to install a timer, right, before you go into it.
Oh, yes. Otherwise, yes. You say, wait a minute, excuse me, how long have I been doing this? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Step 8, breathe and let go. I think that is an important step. Letting go is something that is, if you have anything in the way of tenacity and personality, it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make sure somebody pays, or I'm going to do this, that, or the other. And man alive, that can just drive you right up a wall and over it and down into an abyss. It's not fun. Letting go is really, really a special thing to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it can take so many different forms, but boy, you know, I've watched people experience setbacks that haven't done that. And, I mean, it can take years and years. Some people never recover from their setbacks, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because they aren't ever able to let go of that regret, that feeling of remorse or that feeling of anger. They're never able to forgive themselves or forgive others and really let go of it. And at the end of the day, all we have is this moment that we're in right now. And really, what happened in the past, I mean, what happened 10 minutes ago is as over as what happened during the Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end of the day. So what we do with this moment right in front of us is what truly defines us. And we can choose what we want to bring forward.
I agree. Step 9 is ask for help if you need it. Boy, that was a tough one for me to learn. That one was so tough for me to learn because I was raised with the attitude, if you're in a mucky mess, it's your fault. Suck it up, kid. And that's the way it is. And I think a lot of people have that in their mentality. And to ask for help or to acknowledge, to even say, sorry, I just am not able to do this. I don't know how to do it. I'm in a mess. This is what I have done with my life. I need some help. Now, you can always be turned away, but it's amazing when you're upfront and you're honest how people will look at you and say, okay, let's sit down and have a conversation. They may not hand you a dollar bill, but they may be able to give you some insights that will assist you.
Oh, and it's such a sign of strength, not weakness, isn't it, Donna?
I think so.
When we can do that, when we can reach out to other people, and I know that, you know, I've had some serious lessons in pridefulness and had to put my ego and my pride aside, whether it be approaching family members or outside resources for guidance mm-hmm. or counsel mm-hmm. or, you know, maybe a clue as to what the next step is. And those steps are not easy to take, but so critical. And I know that when I've experienced other people reaching out for help, I never judge them as being weak when they ask for that. Instead, I do perceive it as a feeling, you know, a sign of strength. And yet somehow when it comes to me, you know, we're our own worst mm-hmm. critic, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. But step 10, I think, sums up everything. Be thankful you're here right now. And I think of so many people I've interviewed through the years that have gone through life experiences that when I hear their stories, I think, my God, would I have been able to have the courage to do what they did? I mean, it's just, it's amazing what people survive, what they work through, uh-huh. what they handle. And to be grateful for where you are, and that is a very significant component of their thinking. There, many times their lives were threatened or something had happened, and they said, I'm alive. I have a choice. What am I going to do with it? And it's really moving. So that final step of being thankful where you are right now in this moment, whatever is going on, you have options to work with. You may have to ask and find out what they are, but they are there. And there's a lot of good people on this planet that are willing to help. Now, let's talk about money. That is a big issue. You have a chapter on creating your own economy. And you have a term that you like to use throughout your book, motivaction, M-O-T-I-V-A-C-T-I-O-N, moment. Motivaction. And it's brainstorming. Give us a little bit of information on that.
Well, several years back, you know, I realized, I mean, you can be the most powerful, motivated, you know, idea-filled person in the world. Unless you're willing to take action on that motivation, it's really not worth the hill of beans. You know, I'm famous for having a ton of ideas, but I...
Are you still with me? Uh-oh, I think her signal dropped. Yep. Okay. Well, I know my engineer is going to get her back. She was making a comment about how she was great at coming up with ideas, but not too good about initiating action. And what I'll say until we get her back on the line, it's so easy to have those ideas, and then we become paralyzed with fear. We just don't know the next step that we're going to take. And she said, grab a paper and pencil and spend 2 minutes using the hot pen approach to brainstorm. What business opportunities, goods, services, or industries have ever called to you? Now, when we're saying called to you, have you been drawn to? Do you absolutely love cooking? Do you have a passion for gardening? Do you find yourself intrigued with police shows? Why would you like to be a forensic pathologist? What is it you would like to do? How would you like to handle it? How would you like to be involved maybe in an area of space exploration? There is absolutely an infinite number of possibilities. And she said, what resources lie right in front of you that you may have prejudged or dismissed hastily? Now, she's got a key thought here. What action could you initiate to motivate you further to investigate or reach out for more information on those opportunities right now? In today's world, we have the internet. You can go and explore on the internet. Ah, here we go. Your signal dropped.
Oh, so sorry, Donna. I don't know. I literally didn't move a muscle. I'm sitting in the same exact spot, and then I just found myself talking to thin air, so I greatly apologize.
That's not a problem. So we were able to move through some information here. Let me just finish it up because I was sharing a motivation moment with them, and I'll finish what I was reading out of your book. Investigating further costs you nothing. Not investigating, however, might be costing you more than you know.
Let's talk about that investigation process. I mentioned while we were trying to reconnect with you because of the signal dropping that we frequently get a paralysis. You were talking about how you could just come up with these wonderful ideas, but you weren't taking the action. How does one go, what would you recommend for an investigating process? I suggested the Internet. What would you suggest?
Oh, the Internet is a great place. That's a great suggestion, Donna, because it's, you know, it's so judgment-free. It's literally financially free, and it's just plentiful information, and it's a great non-invasive way to start. I also recommend talking to people, you know, opening yourself up to conversation, you know, just with even people that you meet in passing, opening yourself up to sharing ideas that you have or things that you're thinking about. You'll be surprised at what people have to offer, whether it be resources and other people that they can connect you to, or information or experiences that they've had with that in the past. I truly believe that the miracles we experience in our life unfold through other people, but it's only by having the courage to open up and let other people know what's on your mind and on your radar. So as you're in that investigative process, really opening yourself up to talking to others about it can be a really critical step, I found.
You make a statement in another one of your chapters, and this one is, unto thine own self be true. We have amazing powers of intuition, honesty, and integrity. If we will just allow ourselves to do the real work and strip away the other garbage that stands in our way. When you say the other garbage that stands in our way, what would you give as an example as our garbage?
Well, I think for so many people, and this, you know, for myself included, a lot of my garbage came from old family programming, limitations that I put on myself, a perspective that I had about voices in the past, you know, maybe things that came from, you know, I came from more of a strict Catholic working class background. And so I had a lot of limitations that I had, you know, didn't realize actually were just part of my default patterns. Messages about money, messages about self-worth, messages about how vocal I should be about my needs or my wants. Some of that came through cultural conditioning, even gender-based conditioning, about my role as a woman, my role as a mother, my role as a wife. So some of that, you know, for a lot of people, I find that a lot of that stuff that stands in their path has to do with messaging that they've integrated on some level. It might be from the past. It might be from people in their current circle. But they've taken it on assumption that those rules, quote unquote, are true. And in fact, they're imposing some kind of limitation. And in reality, it's just a story that we've adopted to be true. But we can make a different choice.
You have a 30-day rebounding radical action plan, and you abbreviated it to RAP, which I thought was a very good way of doing it. And you said the goal is to identify 30 consecutive days to, number one, feel good every day and create a new habit of feeling good. Two, take positive action steps every day and create a new habit of positive action. Three, create new relationships and opportunities that open doors to the future and create a new habit of creating. Four, expand comfort zones and create a new habit of expanding comfort zones. Five, make room for moments of gratitude and create a new habit of being grateful. And six, make room for focusing on others and create a new habit of serving others. You've got so much that you have put in here that people can utilize. Teresa, what is your website where people can go and find your information, find out about what you do, find out more about the book?
My website, thank you, Donna, for asking, is www.360degreeinspiredsuccess.com. It's 360 inspired success. .com.
Repeat that
and
one more time.
It's www.360degreeinspiredsuccess.com. And they'll
All
find
right.
information on the book on there as well as information on other offerings that I have on there. I appreciate you asking.
Yes. Well, I think that that's important. Now, your voice blipped out just a little bit on your cell phone. So that's 360-degree inspired success. 360 are numerals, 360-degree inspired success. com. Your book, Rebounding, is loaded with a lot of good information, and I think that you put it together very nicely. Thank you so much, Teresa, for being my guest today.
Thank you so much, Donna, for the opportunity. I so appreciate it, and I just want to express my gratitude for the opportunity and your perspective and the things that you've pulled out from the book that had meaning or significance to you. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Rebounding. If you feel like you are stuck in a rut and you just have been trying to shovel your way out and you just don't know how to do it and you find that the handle on your shovel is broken, why don't you pick up the Rebounding book, Rebounding. That's the title. It's a practical guide for getting up and getting over it. By golly, it is a real good resource to use. Donna Sebo here, and again, Teresa, thank you for being my guest. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. To see more details, God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And if you want me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. All I need from you is your first name or initial. Then relax, and I will tell you what I perceive about you for this moment or otherwise. And then you're welcome when I finish to ask me a question about anything that you like. Now, if you are in the Washington State area, especially Western Washington, I have a few tickets left for the wonderful event that's being held out in Bonnie Lake, Washington. And it is the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. I have a few family passes left. And if you would like to get a free one, the first 3 weekends in August, this is, I think, the fourth largest event that is done in the state of Washington. It's absolutely incredible. It's wonderful. So either call my office and give me your information. That number is 253-582-5604. Or send me an email. Send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com, Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and I will get your free family pass. This is for two adults and two children. I'll be giving you more information about this wonderful event that's coming up. My goodness, it just is amazing, just a couple of weeks away. I wanted to share with you a thought that having the lady with me today, Teresa, we were talking about rebounding, coming back from situations where you've just been devastated. Robert Johnson had a wonderful comment, and I really appreciate it. He said, measure yourself by your best moments, not your worst. We're too prone to judge ourselves by our moments of despondency and depression. We have all felt the desire, at times almost victorious desire, to get away from everything and retire into a cottage in the wilderness.
but we don't do it because we are better men and women than we think we are. This is a reality of life. And as we were sharing, Teresa and May, with you, it's important to realize that no one escapes from experience in this thing called life. It is a part of what we are going to journey through. And if you've ever had anyone in your life that you've admired tremendously, usually you will find the reason that you admire them is because in some way they have weathered circumstances and share their story with you, and you're inspired by them because of their courage, because of their clarity, because of who they are as an individual. And I think that that is extremely significant. So realize you may have that same effect on someone else. Life happens. You hear me say that frequently on the show. It does. And lots of things we absolutely have no control over. But I wanted to share that thought with you. Well, I thought I would share a little bit of trivia with you today that is about some issues that most of us really don't, well, I don't know that we'd ever want to have the experience. This one, Sarita Bista from Western Nepal, they don't understand what is happening to this little girl. And she's not a little girl anymore. I'm sure she's a teenager right now. But she's defied the laws of nature by pulling small triangular-shaped pieces of glass from her head every day for over 3 years. Now, what happens is that this little girl sometimes loses consciousness when this process begins, but there's no harm that's done to her. And her doctors are so baffled by what it is, and there's a picture of her in front of me showing these shards of glass that come out of her head. And you just go, how in the world can this possibly happen? It defies everything that science would even begin to examine. I mean, there's no logical step to this. And then there is an 11-year-old boy. This one, it's not such a big surprise. He was from Independence, Missouri. His parents had a 1995 Chevrolet. He drove 200 miles all by himself, reaching speeds of 85 miles per hour before he ran out of gas. And then he accidentally locked the keys in the car so he couldn't do anything else. Every once in a while, we hear about someone doing that. I really have to chuckle at our world today because I am aware of youngsters out on farms that are taught how to run tractors and all kinds of equipment when they're relatively young. And that's because of the necessity many times to have help on a farm. And youngsters usually are supposed to work. They're working. And in our modern society, if you will call it that, so many times, we deny kids the opportunity to try things. We deny them the opportunity to explore. We deny them the opportunity to make mistakes. And one way or another, they're going to have to learn how to work their way through things. So that 11-year-old, it doesn't surprise me at all that he decided he was going to take off, and I can imagine what his parents responded, what their response was when they caught him. And then there is a youngster who at the age of 10, the youngster's name was Lily, and this is what she started doing when she was 2 years old. She started catching lizards in her yard, and in a couple of years, she saw a lady that was featured on the program Animal Planet hypnotizing an alligator. So she thought she'd try it on lizards, and it worked. Mm-hmm. This youngster said, I started dressing the lizards up in my doll clothes, and my dad would take pictures of them. I do it because it's a lot of fun. And she said, I absolutely love these lizards. And she said, it's really fun.
seeing the smiles on people's faces when they see a lizard riding a scooter or painting the Mona Lisa. Can you imagine the career she will have as a hypnotist when she gets older if she decides to do that? If she can do lizards, I guarantee you she's going to be able to work on people. And if she gets a PhD, she'll be absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. But I've got photos of these lizards that she dresses up and puts into the scenes. And it's absolutely amazing and no harm to the lizards whatsoever. 10 years old when she saw someone doing this with other animals. So just a little bit of trivia there for you. Well, I've got some more information I wanted to share with you. And again, if you want to give me a buzz, the telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. I wanted to pass along a couple of points of saving money. And one of these points I heard on a local talk show when I was out and about doing errands the other day. Now, if you find that your kid's going off to college and one of the big expenses are buying textbooks, well, it's not inexpensive, and when you want to sell them back to a bookstore at the end of the year, you're not going to get very much money for them. Now, there's a couple places you can go to. You can go to collegesmarts.com, or swapbooks.com, or textswap.com. These are sites that will enable students to buy and sell used books or exchange their old textbooks for the ones that they need. And there's also something going on with Amazon. Amazon is doing something very, very special for students so that they don't have to put so much out. With college tuition going up through the ceiling, this is something that really can be very, very helpful. A lot of these textbooks you're not going to want to keep for the rest of your life because some of the subject matter, it's just for that semester or what have you. So any way you can save money or help a student save money, I think it's very, very good. Now, what if you are in a situation where you have a home, you're trying to sell it, as so many people are doing today, and maybe in your area of the country, the homes just are not selling? Well, if you are wondering how you can manage this, people are starting to swap homes. That's right. They are finding that it's a great way to get a house of about the same value, maybe in a different town, or with aspects, features that you would like to have in a home. So if you're interested in exploring this, let's say you've got a job in a different state or something else is going on, this is a site you can check out. It's called DomuSwap or DomuSwap, maybe that's the way it's pronounced, D-O-M like Mary U, swap.com. And then you can check out Pad for Pad, P-A-D, the number 4, PAD.com, or onlinehousetrading.com. You can list your home and search through similarly valued residences you might find are available for you to move into. Swap new levels of ownership. It's an idea. It might be worth exploring. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone number is 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone number to call in to me if you'd like to chat is 888-815-9756. For those of you in the Pacific Northwest, I've got two appearances coming up next week. On Tuesday, July 26th, I'm going to be at 6:30 in the evening at the Progressive Spiritual Center in Lakewood, Washington. I'm going to be teaching a class that evening. There's a small fee of $10 at the door. I'm also going to have a plethora of books, CDs, and some very special handmade angels that I'm going to be having on sale there. And we're going to have a couple of hours where I'm going to be able to share with you some of my knowledge and my know-how and perhaps enable you to be more comfortable with your own intuitive skills. And then on Saturday, July 30th, I'm going to be at the Best Western Plus River's Edge. Now, the Ascension Foundation is putting on literally an all-day type of an event. It's divided into two sections. In the morning, at 10 a.m. all the way through to 4 in the afternoon, it's open to the public. There's going to be different types of healers, readers. There's going to be products and services. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be doing many consultations for people, but there's a lot going on, and again, it's open free to the public. At 4:30, when we close the doors, the room is going to be reconfigured, and it's going to be set up for an evening event that will start. The doors will open at 6 o'clock in the evening. Michael Shane, who is going to do appertation, as well as billets, there's going to be mediumship demonstrations, and I'm one of the VIP speakers, so I will be doing demonstrations with the audience as well. So it's going to be a wonderful program in the evening that will enable you to see different levels and expressions of mediumship experience. So I encourage you to take time, put it on your calendar. It is July the 30th. If you want more information, you can go to theascensionfoundation.com. You can also call them at 206-356-6356. And you can check out my website, DelphiInternational.com, and you will find all of this information posted. So you can go right there. You can link right in to those wonderful people that are putting on these events. And I'm very grateful to be able to have the opportunity to interact with them. And again, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Now, tomorrow, we're going to be talking about setting the captive free. Dr. McDonough is going to be my guest tomorrow. We're going to be talking about being aware of how one can make the changes in their lives in ways that perhaps you wouldn't have considered, and much, much more. I wanted to share with you a fabulous recipe, and this is just a hoot. This is out of a book I've had in my library for a very, very long time, and I really think it's very, very nice. Now, here's a recipe for a happy home. It's 4 cups of love, 2 cups of loyalty, 3 cups of forgiveness, 1 cup of friendship, 5 tablespoons of hope, 2 tablespoons of tenderness, 4 quarts of faith, and 1 barrel of laughter. Take the love and loyalty and mix it thoroughly with faith. Blend it with tenderness, kindness, and understanding. Add friendship and hope. Sprinkle abundantly with laughter. Bake it with sunshine. Serve daily with generous helpings. I really like that. I don't know who originated that. The author is unknown, but I really, really find that it's very, very, very good. Now, there is also something that the author, whose name is Carla Emery, has as a recipe. And this came from a person in Yakima, Washington. It's called mouse pie. Yes, I know that may not be something that you're going to have in your kitchen, but this really is, it's really good. First, you catch 5 fat field mice. Then you boil 1 cup of macaroni, 10 minutes. Now, while it's cooking, you skin and gut the field mice, then fry long enough to fry out some of the excess fat. Grease a casserole with some of this fat and put a layer of cooked macaroni in it. Add a half an onion sliced and 1 medium-sized can of tomatoes. Add salt and pepper to taste. Now you add your field mice and cover with remaining macaroni. You sprinkle the top with 1 cup of cracker crumbs seasoned with salt, pepper, and butter. Bake at 375 for about 20 minutes or until the mice are well done. And this is the note they added to the recipe. Note, if it's difficult to find or catch field mice, a good substitute is about 10 little pig sausages. I'm telling you, people can come up with some of the weirdest stuff. I just love it. I absolutely love it. Now, cooking is one of my favorite things, but when I came across these things, I just thought, this really is absolutely priceless. And she's got a recipe here from a Texas newspaper that I'm going to save for another time because it's absolutely hilarious. But anyway, there is a book called The Encyclopedia of Country Living, and I just like to go through it every once in a while because it really makes me appreciate modern-day environments, I'll tell you. I love my dishwasher. I love my washer and dryer, and I like my ovens, and I really don't really want to go out getting water from the pump outside in front of the house. No, I don't think I want to do that. So I am spoiled. I am citified in more ways than you can ever believe, and I thank my lucky stars that I'm not living in the good old days. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is a rich experience. Don't be afraid when you find that you are stuck in a place that you really don't know how to get out of. It's okay. Don't be afraid to ask for help and recognize there is always opportunity around you, many times costumed in a way you might even not know how to recognize. So don't be afraid to step into new paradigms of opportunity. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.